So yeah, so this morning, yesterday I was sitting there at my table, looking up some information and stuff. Like I said, I was going to talk about bitterness and what it does to your physical body. See, a lot of people think, well, I'm just going to be this way. No, you won't live really long and you won't live a happy life. That's one of the common things. People who are bitter are not happy. And so yesterday while I was working on my message, had something unexpected happen that had to be dealt with immediately. I thought I had it conquered and then realized, nope, there was more to it. And then realized I can't do this by myself right now. So I said, Lord, this is in your hands. And I went in. Went into the house. And that's not normally like me. Normally I'll set up lights and stuff. I'm like, I'm running out of daylight. It's getting colder. And, well, got through it. I'll deal with it now. But when I woke up, so, you know, I went to bed with all this on my heart. And just to help you out, the pump in our well smoked itself yesterday. The hole was full of smoke. I could hear it arcing inside the water. I'm like, yeah, I really don't want to touch that casing because it's metal. And with 240 going to it. So I was like, oh, I'm done, Lord. You didn't pop that off. I don't need to stress myself. And I just refused to bite on it. Well, I woke up this morning. First off, I woke up at 6, and I was like, Lord, why am I awake at 6? I have no reason to be up at 6. But I woke up with the song, A Thousand Things, going over and over. If you gave me 1,000 years, Lord, to see 1,000 things, it's still not enough. And how good God is. See, we only know God by what people say in the Bible, right? If you don't know God personally, you don't know God. That is why it's called a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Growing up, I knew God from the Bible. And then, early one Sunday morning, on the north tip of Okinawa, I met God personally. And he introduced me to a world that has changed everything I've ever thought about him. I used to think he was just waiting for me to step out of line, you know what I'm saying? Somebody, you just wait and go ahead, boy. I'm going to smack you upside of your stupid head. See, he doesn't have to do that because the devil's waiting there to do it for him. Go ahead, step out. I'll make you curse God. That was the whole point for Job, was for him to curse God. But God knew Job and knew he would never do it. Even when his wife said, why don't you just curse God and give up? Thank God Job was a fighter. The most intimate person with Job on this planet was telling him to quit. Now, there are some things my wife tells me to quit, but it is never to quit on God. Usually it's quit acting like a child, which I refuse. But you see, I've come to know God when I wake up and the sun is on my face. When I walk out and I feel the gentle breeze, or I smell the aroma from all the flowers, or I see a bird whistling, playing its little song, flying through the air. Those are just little ways that I feel God, that I see God. And I don't know how to put that into words. I really don't. When you see the feather, if you've never picked up a feather because you thought they were covered in lice, get over yourself. They're not all lice infected. It has no body to live with. Pick up that feather and look at the detail. Even the little brown sparrows. Look at those feathers. how intricately those designs are in each feather. That's the detail of our God. The lines in your skin, he knew they were going to be there. I look at mine as I'm starting to look like the Cowardly Lion. I got these fat pockets in, and I realize I didn't really get to know my maternal grandfather, period. But I do remember, as he was my age, he kind of had these. But God knew that. God knew the details. He knows every hair on the top of your head. He's got them named. Whether it's just one through whatever. He knows which ones are not there anymore. Who said a lot? Oh, Joe. Would that be one through? He knows that. He knows the details. I believe, I don't know why we get freckles. If you're like me, I come from a long line of frecklers. And I like being in the sun. But then I look, I'm like, holy moly, it's connect the dots. And I have to believe there's a pattern. That God knows there's a pattern. That it's not all random. I've seen a few more show up over the last couple of years. I'm like, I'm going to be one giant freckle before too long. But you see, I got to know God personally. I don't know him through my wife's relationship, through my parents, through your relationship, through anybody else's. I've got to know God because I've gone through some stuff. I know God is God my healer, God my protector. I know him as such. The Lord my righteousness. He's righteous because I am not, but I am through him. So if he's righteous, I'm righteous. And that takes a lot to get through when people love law. Well, it says, thou shalt not. They always like to go to there, but they don't want to get the ones that they're doing. So please be careful if that's what you're doing to people. Because Jesus told the scribes and Pharisees, you are hypocrites. You tithe mint. It's hard enough getting people to tithe, period, let alone tithing mint. Every little leaf they tithe. And he said, you've ignored the greater things. They didn't know God. They were sad and depressed in their religion, and their way of life didn't bring them joy. If God doesn't bring you joy, it's because you're serving a religion. You should get up and look outside and say, God did that. My God, he did that. He created that maple tree for my enjoyment. He created that dog for my pleasure. He created those birds. And as much as I don't like blue jays, I know they're beautiful. They are mean, nasty little birds. But you know what? Even in times like right now, the blue jays can figure out how to get along with the sparrows and the cardinals and the doves and all the other little birds around the feeder right now. They usually chase them off. But even them, that's feathers got several different patterns on it. The majestic eagles, it's flying overhead. And as much as we despise the buzzards, their intricacy of what they can do. Because they have a job. They do a job none of us want. So in the Bible, the patriarchs of our faith, they got to know who God was through trials and tribulations. Three main names that God is known by: Yahweh. That's his personal name. That is who, after he said, I am who I am, he told Moses, now go tell the children of Israel, Yahweh has sent you. That's his personal name. Religion got to say, well, we can't say the vowels. Yidhei vavhei. Who cares? I'm righteous now. They weren't. See, if I'm not righteous, how dare I speak the holy name of God? Because, wait a minute, I'm holy even as he is holy. And if I'm not holy, then this whole thing's a joke. But I'm holy. I am righteous. I am worthy, is what it means. There's only one in here who has the right to call me daddy. But we can all call God Abba, which is the Greek for daddy. We have been adopted in. We all have that right now. There's a relationship, it's been restored. Some of you know me more personally than others. Some of you have realized maybe that's not such a good idea. No. I'm not a hateful person, I promise. I try not to be. Some people across this world know me by Woody. It's a name I went by in the Marine Corps. The only people that ever called me that. So they all knew me by that name. Even today, if I run it, hey, Woody! People call you by the name they know you by. Who do you know God by? Jehovah is the Latin variant of Yahweh. And Adonai. By the way, those two also mean Lord. That's why you always see it says Lord, the Lord. Adonai means Lord, Master. Kind of like your boss. If you look, that's used in the different ways. Three different words. They were set that way to distinguish the relationship. Only those who are going to get personal with God are going to know him as Yahweh. If you can't see him as Yahweh, you can't see him in any of these other things either, because you aren't submitted. You aren't committed to him. Again, Jehovah is the Latin variant of Yahweh. It just simply means the Lord. But here's some things. Abraham knew him as Jehovah Jireh. My provider. He went up on the mountain to sacrifice his son, his only son. Well, his only birthright son, the one God required from him. And Isaac says, Father, I see the rocks, I see the wood, and I see the fire. Where's the sacrifice? And God said, or Abraham said, God himself will provide the sacrifice. God will provide it. He called him Jehovah Jireh right then. God will provide. If God, that's been something we've lived by with in this ministry. There have been a couple times that we stepped out because we thought just a good thing. Not every good thing is a God thing. And so, we've always said, if it's God's will, it's God's bill. God will pay for it. And you know what? When it's been God's will, he didn't just pay for it. He went above and beyond, which is a line in that song that I just love. You're not just enough. You are too much. Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Moses knew this in Exodus 15. my God who heals me. You are the God who heals me. Isaiah 53:5 says, by his stripes we were healed. And people still argue whether God wants to heal them. Yes, he does. How he does it is his job. If he uses a doctor, he uses a doctor. If he heals you miraculously on the spot, then that's how he does it. Who am I to tell God how to heal? There are those who try. Moses also knew God as Jehovah Nissi, our banner in Exodus 17. Our banner. Woohoo, right? Woohoo, got a banner. See, you need to understand something, what a banner is. A banner isn't just this pretty little sign over here, the sheep and mountains and stuff and scripture on it. The scripture means something, yes. The picture means absolutely nothing. It's just pretty. It is a standard, is what the banner is. It is something that when people look at it, they either rejoice or they turn in fear. A standard is that. The stars and stripes. One of our general orders was to salute all colors and standards, not caste. It meant that that was the leader of a country. That's why you see the presidential limousines and they have flags that are flapping in the winds. And others, they are in plastic. They do not move. We do not salute those because that's not the leader. So when you see those colors coming across the hill and you're the one who's pinned down, the enemy's got you down and you see the standard coming across, you know the help is there. You know safety is coming. You know food and provision is coming. I always think of the even though it's historically inaccurate, the movie Patriot with Mel Gibson. He grabs that standard, he grabs the colors, and he holds it up and he charges. And the people turn around and they start following. What did it do? It gave them hope. That is what a standard is. That is what the banner is. It gave the people hope. They looked at it and they saw. Well, brother, I don't quite get. Isaiah, let me finish up here. Isaiah 59 says, I believe it's 19, says, and when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. He raises up something that brings hope. What could bring hope to people around the world? There's only one thing. It's a blood-stained cross. Not with Jesus on it. The cross is where the work got done, and it got finished in the grave. But when we look up that cross, when we see that cross, we think about that cross and the precious blood that went down it. It was soaked, it was stained in the most righteous blood to ever be on this planet. He raised up Jesus Christ for you. The standard is you're free from your sin. You fall down, get back up. Quit laying there licking your wounds. Get up. There's hope. There's hope in that cross. There's freedom. There's joy in that cross. We've all been to that cross if you have accepted Jesus as your Lord. And if you hadn't, I highly recommend you seek him. Because my life turned around. I was already an alcoholic. I was 21 and was heading down a very, very bad path. But praise God, a seed had been planted in me that said, this is not the way to go out. Jehovah Shalom, peace. That is why Jews, when they enter and leave a building, they say, peace, shalom. My peace I leave with you. Jesus left us his peace, not the peace that the world can offer. See, the world can offer you peace if there's no war, if there's no economic distress. Well, that's gone. But Jesus said, my peace I leave with you, a peace that can't be taken away. Why? Because God is my provider. The Lord is my banner. Gideon called him that. Jehovah Shalom. Gideon led 300 men against 20,000. 20,000. Y'all do understand, I don't care if they were all U.S. Marines. There's a good chance they're getting their butt kicked in a normal battle. Cards were stacked. All it required was faith, because the Lord raised a standard against the enemies of Israel. And when Gideon and his 300 came charging down that mountainside, they broke the torches out, some blew on trumpets, and others shouted for the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And the men came out of their tents down below, and they were so confused, they killed each other. Talk about friendly fire. You step out of your hooch, and somebody runs you through. And they chased them. 300 chased them and finished them. Jehovah Raha, our shepherd. There it is. The Lord is my shepherd. David understood that about God, because David was a shepherd. You understand God through your eyes, not through mine. You see things I don't see. You understand God just a little bit differently. Well, we should all understand the same. Are you kidding? We're not Amish. I don't want to be all the same. How boring is life if we all wore the same thing? They don't even really like it, but they do it. Jesus said, here's freedom. Jehovah Tsidkenu, our righteousness. Jeremiah declared this, that God is our righteousness. I am righteous because he is righteous. Not because of anything I did or will do. I am holy as he is holy. He is the holiest, not me. So I'm holy because of him. And I had to start, you have to see yourself as that, or you will keep seeing yourself as worthless. Do you understand the price of blood? That is why I do not take the freedoms in this country lightly. I have voted in every election. And that was just because of a sense of duty. And then when I really understood the price that was paid. And it sickens me when believers say, I don't vote, it don't matter anyhow. It so absolutely does. Well, I'm not going to stand up and defend. Thou shalt not kill. And yet God said, go into the land of Canaan and kill them. You're not murdering people. When people have declared war, you have to protect. And the people that do serve and they stand on that line, they do not fight for hatred of people in front of them. They fight for the love of people behind them. That's why. And so when we listen to people that say that doesn't matter, and they tell us that they're dogs and that they're murderers, I really do want to slap them. Because what Jesus Christ did on that cross redeemed them too. It redeemed me. And people would look at me and say, you're just not worth it. You're just a hillbilly. If you're from Ohio originally, let me see your hand. Okay, we got a few people. Let me back that up. Your family didn't come from another state in the last 150 years. Two people. Yeah, I know yours has been here for a while. I looked up some maps. At least back to 1859, he had family here. I had family that crossed the river. Bob had family across when it was frozen. So they've been here a while. My family drove over the Silver Bridge, and then it collapsed. Literally, my mom had just got off of it. So we had to go down to Point Pleasant. Took Route 62 right up out of West Virginia and never moved back. But you know what? All of us came from somewhere else. And a lot of you came from the same neck of the woods I did. And people looked down on us. I'm going to tell you right now, the fact that there are still hillbillies tells me they can survive. They don't need government assistance. They just need you to leave them alone. Tell them about Jesus. Unfortunately, some of them got their own version of that. Jehovah Shammah. He is here. God is here. Or he is there. Depends on which side of the tabernacle you're standing on. If you're looking at it, God is there. God is here. Come on in. Let me tell you, God is here. We pray every Sunday that his presence will fill this place. That his word will go deep into your heart, and that it will break down those strongholds. That's the standard that is raised up. Because the enemy comes in to do nothing but steal, kill, and destroy, so says John. But I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. If we're not having abundant life, it's because we're being hard-headed most of the time. We don't want to do what God said. Most of the time I found personally, it's been about my own attitudes towards people. People. God doesn't care about your attitude towards a car manufacturer, TV manufacturer, country. Because he cares about the people. He didn't die for a system of government. He died for people. The Bible tells us that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. You need to understand that when we call Jesus Lord, we are calling him Jesus is Lord. God. That's what it means. He is God. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The Holy Spirit's been called the Spirit of Liberty. But the Spirit of God is God. And if you can't believe those things, then you're going to be fighting an uphill battle against a powerful force. Because religion wants to keep pulling you back. No. You need to say penance. You need to do this. Yeah, you may have cost yourself something, but I don't need to keep going back. I don't have to go back to the beginning and start all over. This isn't sorry. I can keep moving. Whoop, I fell. Get back up. Get your heart right with God. I've told you before, your sins were forgiven on that cross over 2,000 years ago. You're receiving what he did when you say, Father, forgive me. You're simply receiving it. There's no easier way. And you're saying it that way so that you hear yourself repent. Because if we can't repent of our sin, then we're arrogant and we're sinning some more. What are some of the thousand ways God could show you? The love of his people, that they come together once a week from different walks of life, from different occupations, to love each other. Well, I really don't like so-and-so. Well, that's okay. I didn't say you was going to be best buds. There's preachers I know. I'm not exactly their fan. But I'll die for them. Been a lot. That was one thing that I had to learn about the military. It was a lot different than you think. You got to take this oath. Everybody's all bent out of shape. Well, Donald Trump didn't put his hand on the Bible. Well, why would he? The Bible tells us not. Somehow, I don't think that's going to be on the recording. So, you and I have got to know who God is. I know him as the Lord of hosts. That's the Lord of the armies. And I'm just like, oh yeah, Jesus, I can see this. Left, right, left. Dress, right, dress. Woo, doggy. And then God said, yeah, you got too much of that, boy. You need to see me as Jehovah Agape. I'm love. And I started seeing people through his eyes. That's why I can pray for people. That's why I can love people, regardless of where they're at. Well, you didn't come running. No, and you can ask my children. Every time they got hurt, I didn't come running. Because there were going to be times that I couldn't. And if my child was waiting for daddy to come and pick him up and blow the little boo-boo off. I love it when my grandkids, they're wild. They fall down. Everybody, I'm all right. God lets us get down too. He says, now, get up, shake it off, pick the rocks out of your knees. You're going to be all right. That's how much he loves us. He's long-suffering. He's kind. He doesn't come along and say, well, Harold, you messed up again. If you do that one more time, I'm going to take out a branch and beat you with it. No. We have prices to pay for things we do. Things we say. But he's not waiting to beat us. Because the devil is. Your enemy is waiting for you to fall. Waiting for you to, I will never forgive them. If you're one of those people saying that, you got anybody, I don't care what they did. Well, Pastor, you just don't understand. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, most of you have heard some of the things I've been through, and I forgive them. I will not hold them against it because I don't want my sins coming back. Oh, no, brother. The Bible says God has cast our sins. God did. The enemy didn't. Who do you think is standing there accusing you? Pat, you remember back in 1962 you did this? Jesus, we washed that away. The accuser is standing there. It's under my blood, Lord. It's under the blood. Who do you know God as? A bully? That's what most people know him as. He's just a mean bully. Causes all this stuff to happen. This earth is doing its own thing now. Mankind is causing global warming. Really? What killed the dinosaurs, supposedly? Asteroids caused big old puff of dirt to go up in the air and passed over and killed everything. Now they're trying to change that. It wasn't this asteroid. It was a smaller one, is what I heard. Like, you don't know. We're guessing. I get it. We don't know what happened for sure. I do know that we do know that. I'm on that track. I also know that I read in my word where it says, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning to the earth. My opinion, it wasn't just an asteroid. It was a spiritual body of beings, like one third of the angels. They were cast out. Well, the polar ice caps are melting. Yeah, and it ain't the first time. Won't be the last. No, I ain't saying we need to pollute. I'm not a fan of pollution. I like to hunt. I like to fish. I like to go out and walk through the trees. Why? Because I know him as the Lord, my creator. He created this whole earth for me to enjoy. Now, Rob and Katie a couple years ago got to go see the Swiss Alps. Phenomenal. I've flown over the Rockies. I've seen icebergs from an airplane. Jungles are a little overrated. Everything in there wants to kill you. But there's beauty in all of that. I know my God is my provider. He is my ever-present help in times of need. And he can be yours too. You need to trust him. You need to believe him. He's not a man that he should lie. So why do we treat him like such? That's your job, to trust him. There's your challenge. Lord, how can I get to know you more this week? Well, get in his word. Well, you're still only going to know the God of the Bible. That's a good way to start. You want to get to know me? You can read what people say about me, true or untrue, or you can sit down and talk with me. God has an open door policy. Sit down and talk with him. Lord, who are you? And then zip your lips and listen. And he'll speak to you. And let me help you out with when God speaks to you. Internally, it usually sounds like your own voice. But it's smarter. Anytime God has ever spoke to me internally, it was, that was just me that said that. Nope, turns out it wasn't. But the times I have heard him audibly with these 2 ears, I thought it was one of my parents, somebody in authority in my life. And all he did was called my name. And the funny thing was, I had just said, God, if you were to talk to me, what would you say? And he called me by name. That's why I turned my back to God, back to God. I turned my back to God because of the religion. It pushed. They said, this is how you need to know God, by doing what we say. How come it's not working for you? Because religion doesn't work. And if my kids only ever know me by rules and regulations, then I messed up. I'm always there. As they're growing up and leaving, I'm still there. All they got to do is call. I'll drop what I'm doing. See, that's God. That's our God. Same way. That's why he's called a good, good father. Amen? All right, let's stand. God's not a boogeyman. God's not an old man. He is called Ancient of Days. But don't misunderstand. He's not in a nursing home. He's not feeble. He's not deaf. He can hear you. And his arm is not so short that it can't reach out to you. Those are some things you need to know, because God is always there. Let's pray. Father, I thank you and I praise you. I thank you, Lord God, that you are our ever-present help in the times of trouble. Lord, that you have never, ever left me, even when I turned my back on you. Lord, I thank you for calling me back. I thank you for moving in my life so that I may help others to understand you are a good daddy and you do love us. Father, I pray for each and every person in here and those watching at home. Lord, I pray right now that you reveal yourself to them. Lord, as they, just as James said, as we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. So, Father, put it in their hearts. May they take the word I spoke and apply it into their lives and move forward in their relationships with you to know you on a deeper level. Father, I bless your people. I pray, Lord God, that as they go this week, Father, they will see your hand. They will see you move in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.